Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Du lyssnar på Dekonstruktiv kritik. Jag är Aron Flam. Avsnittet gästas av forskaren Itai Rovini som är chef för det fristående forskningsinstitutet NGO Monitor. Han var inbjuden för att debattera på Olof Palme-centrets globala torget på bokmässan i år, vars motto var "Länge leve ordet, du kan aldrig gissa vad som hände sedan." Men först vill jag tacka dig som stödjer Dekonstruktiv kritik. Det finansieras av dig som lyssnar och gillar det du hör. Du kan stötta DK på patreon.com/aronflam där du också får avsnitten några dagar före gemene man och tillgång till extra långa reaktionsavsnitt med mig och David Eberhardt. Glöm för övrigt inte att titta på mina och David Eberhardts reaktionsvideos. Båda delarna av när jag och David reagerar på Matt Walsh's dokumentär What is a Woman? Korta versionerna ligger ute på min YouTube-kanal och i full längd på patreon.com/aronflam. Härnäst släpper vi det absolut tråkigaste boomers reagerar som spelats in, och det är när vi reagerar på SVT:s Babel. Herregud, vilket sömnpiller det var. Det går såklart också bra att stötta mitt arbete på PayPal, med Bitcoin eller med Swish 0768943737. 0768943737. Ett ännu större tack till dig som kommit på någon av kvällarna under min och Jens Ganmans gemensamma turné Scener från ett tvångsäktenskap. Det har gått så pass bra att vi funderar på att förlänga turnén med några städer till. Vilka det blir återkommer jag till framöver. Tills vidare hittar du min och Jens Ganmans bok Älskade Public Service, själva underlaget för turnén, på min hemsida aronflam.com/merchandise. Så, Vänskapsförbundet Sverige-Israel deltog i årets bokmässa i Göteborg. Där arrangeras även Globala torget. Citat: Globala torget är ett nätverk av organisationer, myndigheter och förlag som arbetar med globala utvecklingsfrågor och mänskliga rättigheter. Dessa aktörer hittar du såväl som utställare som arrangörer av program på vår scen. Slutcitat. Det här är enligt deras egen hemsida. Olof Palmes internationella center är de som för femte året i rad arrangerar Globala torget på bokmässan 2022 i Göteborg. Den 23 september klockan 16.00 till 16.20 skulle JIPF, judar för israelisk-palestinsk fred, hålla ett föredrag med titeln Israel, ockupation och apartheid. Föredraget skulle hållas på engelska och den som bjudits in av JIPF att tala är talesperson för den israeliska organisationen B'Tselem. B'Tselem är, utan att överdriva, en vänsterorganisation som i sin iver att skapa samförstånd mellan judar och araber konsekvent ställer sig på arabernas sida. Jipf är en grupp judar som mest verkar vara judar när vänstern vill anklaga Israel för vad som nästan alltid verkar vara antisemitiska stereotyper. Typ blodsanklagelse eller liknande. Att hata sig själv som jude är inget konstigt, det är en del av den judiska identiteten. Men om du hatar andra judar är det lika mycket antisemitism som från vem som helst. Klockan 16.20, strax efter Jipf och Betselem, kan du se att vänskapsförbundet Sverige-Israel har 20 minuter på sig. Lika länge som föregående föredrag för sin föreläsning som hade titeln Därför är Israel ingen apartheidstat. De har så att säga sitt sätt att se på saken. Därefter kan du se att de sista 20 minuterna ska ägnas åt frågan om Israel är en apartheidstat eller inte. För att göra en lång historia kort bestämmer sig Olof Palme Center för att stryka de sista två delarna av timme 16 till 17 på Globala torget den 23 september 2022. Oavsett hur man vänder och vrider på saken står alltså Jipf och Betselem oemotsagda i frågan om Israels eventuella apartheid. Så långt allt gott och allt som vanligt. Vänskapsförbundet Sverige-Israel som bjudit in forskaren Itay Roveny anklagar Olof Palme Center och Globala torget för cancel culture. Generalsekreteraren för Olof Palmes internationella center Anna Sundström anser att det är Vänskapsförbundet som inte anmält sin talare i tid. Citat: Anna Sundström is Secretary General for the Olof Palme International Center from the 13th of February 2017. Ms. Sundström comes from a post of policy advisor at the Swedish Ministry for Foreign Affairs, alltså svenska UD. She has previously worked as International Secretary of the Social Democratic Women's Organization, as International Secretary and Policy Advisor in the Swedish Parliament, and more recently as Head of Operations of the Olof Palme International Center, enligt deras egen hemsida. Som svar på anklagelsen från Vänskapsförbundet Sverige-Israel svarar i alla fall Anna Sundström att, citat, den programpunkt som ställdes in var en paneldiskussion som arrangerades av Globala torget, där Vänskapsförbundet Sverige-Israel tackat ja till att medverka tillsammans med bland annat en representant för Betselem. På skärmdumparna kan man dock tydligt se att det var Vänskapsförbundet Sverige-Israel som skulle vara arrangör för ett 20 minuters anförande om varför Israel inte är en apartheidstat. Och där står också Itay Roveny från NGO Monitor anmäld. Eftersom ingen fick höra det kan vi bara gissa, för även om Betselem inte ville debattera mot NGO Monitor är det konstigt att Globala med Anna Sundström i spetsen inte vill låta NGO Monitor och Vänskapsförbundet Sverige-Israel hålla ett eget anförande på den tid som uppgivits till just detta. Något hon förklarar med att, citat, vilket vi också sa nej till då tid inte fanns för att säkerställa att de kriterier som gäller för medverkande organisationer var uppfyllda. Medverkande organisationer ska anmäla intresse av att medverka i god tid innan bokmässan, slutcitat. Något Jipf alltså inte verkar behöva hålla sig till när de bjöd in Betselem. Men det är tydligen skillnad på judar och judar här, för jag får också ta del av mejlkonversationen mellan Vänskapsförbundet och bland annat Patrik Deston och Anna Sundström från OPIC, som jag numera kallar Olof Palmes internationella center. Och han är ansvarig för just Globala torget på bokmässan, alltså Patrik Deston. Det är en lång tråd där det är tydligt att OPIC slingrar sig något i betydelsen att de inte rätt ut kan säga vad som är problemet med just NGO Monitor. Så jag ringer Patrik Deston för att fråga vad han anser har hänt. Om du är Patreon för att höra hela det samtalet, om du inte är Patreon för att höra detta.
Jag menar, jag har varit på bokmässan, jag vet ju hur det brukar se ut, Patrik. Det brukar ju inte vara jättemånga röster som är pro-israeliska.
Vi satt en globala fråga utifrån många aspekter. Det är inte bara Israelfrågan som
ja. Nej, men, men inte just det här perspektivet.
Tyvärr finns det jättemycket röster som inte gör sig hörda på våra scener. Så är det ju.
Ja, men det här är ju röster ni har bjudit in. Som sen inte, får tal. Ni bjöd ju in.
Som de har satt program för. Det här är ett program som, eller en debatt som jag försökte arrangera för att jag tyckte det var spännande med en debatt om det här ämnet, men som inte fick till på slutändan.
Judarna är verkligen ett sjukt otursförföljt folk, sådan himla otur hela tiden. Det är så typiskt att när de väl blir inbjudna att bemöta anklagelser som riktas mot dem så går det inte att hålla föredraget. Det var alltså ett litet smakprov. För dig som vill höra resten finns den på min Patreon, patreon.com/aronflam. För att bringa lite klarhet i vad som hände, i alla fall från israeliskt håll, så ringer jag upp Itai Rovini från NGO Monitor för att få reda på hur han upplevt situationen. Itai är expert på sociala rörelser och civilsamhällen. NGOs, alltså icke-statliga organisationers roll i konflikter, ekonomiskt stöd till antisemitism och terrorism. Han är också talesperson för NGO Monitor, ett oberoende forskningsinstitut som forskar om just icke-statliga organisationer. Njut.
Mr. Itai Rovini, a hearty welcome to Deconstructive Criticism.
Thank you.
So, please, can you explain? I ask this question to all my guests so that they get to define themselves with their own words. Who are you?
Well, I'm a 40 years old Israeli born and raised. In the last 11 years, I'm well known as part of NGO Monitor. It's a Jerusalem-based research institute, and we are dealing with we're researching the involvement of non-governmental organizations in political campaigns, especially with relation to anti-Semitism, boycotts towards Israel, and even terrorism. Overall, I'm also, my academic background is actually about social movements and Iran, and some more international aspects of how social movements work. I was born and raised in Ashkelon, which is a few kilometers from Gaza. Lived in Jerusalem for a while, studied in the Hebrew U, did my army in the paratroopers as a combat soldier, and still doing it as a reserve. And I very much define myself as an expert when it comes to civil society and how it becomes more and more a political tool and how it reflects into our daily politics. And that's it. And I was a
social movements and Iran is a topic à la mode at the moment, is it not?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's interesting because I was dealing with those topics back then in my master degree in 2009. Also, there was the green protest in Iran, and I was very much into it. But that was a decade or more than a decade ago. And in this decade, my focus is more and more on social movements and civil movements that work towards the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. So I can say, in self-criticism, that I neglected my academic interest in Iran, but I do much, very much connected. My family is from there. I still have family there. So I follow every day on what's going on.
Yeah, I bet. But I mean, in your defense, NGOs against Israel is a much bigger market than...
That's a good business to have to yes, to be in now.
So, and NGO Monitor, is it anyway funded by the Israeli state, or is it completely independent?
It's completely independent. We are not getting any money from any government, not Israeli or not any European. We are very much jealous to our independent resources, meaning we are fundraising from private foundations, from private people, mainly in the US and Canada, but also we have some from Europe, from Israel. It's not a new organization. We exist for almost 20 years, and we are also not so big. Sometimes people portray us as some monster with 300 people, but we are a team of 17 people with a modest budget. But we are considering ourselves as a pioneers when it comes to try and understand why no one ever in a systematic manner criticized human rights NGOs, or why no one putting the mirror in front of them?
And why would people? I mean, they are the good guys, are they not?
Yeah, so I think in order to understand, if we want to get into to understand the process, and also that will be also much more a good segue to what's happening in Europe and in Sweden specifically, is actually to understand the nature of the human rights NGO status in the Western world. So for years, for decades, they had halo like angels. And it's actually in psychology it's called the halo effect.
Yes.
When we tend to judge someone by a trigger, by a positive trigger, and then we just stop asking any other questions. So so for years, when you say in Europe, not only Europe, but especially, I'm a human rights activist, I'm a human rights organization, you have this halo that prevents from anyone to asking questions or to criticize. Everyone assuming that because you're doing for such a good cause, and human rights is a good cause, but they're assuming that you're also a good person. Or yes. You're a good organization. And I can count endless cases where the biggest human rights NGOs were involved in the most notorious things that you can think of. Amnesty now is facing a lot of criticism on what's going on in their own corridors with racism and abuse against interns. Oxfam was involved in a network of sexual trafficking of young girls in Africa. Like you have it everywhere. Like, by the way, like every other organization, but for some reason to give a criticism, even a constructive one, is a big no-no in the Western world. So so once we understand that, we also understand why no one ever asking the right questions, which brings me to the another part, and it's correlated to the halo effect, is the money. Once you assume that someone's good and you don't ask the right questions, and you don't have any accountability and responsibility, the money just flows. And that explains a lot why you have an industry of anti-Israeli and sometimes anti-Semitic NGOs. Why so much money comes from European governments to those NGOs in the name of human rights, in the name of Palestinian human rights, which is good, which is, it's a good cause. And once we attached the halo effect and the money, then we can understand how some of those NGOs control the discourse. They are the sole subcontractors of some of the European governments. They basically set up policy, international policy, and not only with the conflict. We can see it in many other things. It can be climate, it can be other conflict zones, women rights, everything. So from our research, basically asking those questions that no one asks, who are the NGOs involved? Are they really promoting human rights? Are they really, who are the funders? Let's say the Swedish government. Is the Swedish government aware that the money is flowing into NGOs that works against its own policy? And if yes, so why they're doing that? And if no, what we can do in order to aware? And our research basically it sits in this niche and goes deep to questions of the apartheid slur against Israel, anti-Semitism, connections between civil society frameworks and terror organizations, and how it's sometimes being used, all the BDS, boycott, the divestments and sanctions campaign. And I think that's as a background of why we're doing what we do, that's pretty much sums everything.
I understand. And on that note, you were recently invited to the Gothenburg Book Fair, so you had a chance to visit our beautiful country. How come you were invited?
Yeah, so first time I arrived to Sweden was a week and a half ago. I was invited by the Sweden-Israel Friendship Association, which is an NGO that's trying to promote the relations between the two countries and also trying to serve as a counter to the attacks that some NGOs from the other side sometimes attacking Israel. So we are collaborating with them for years, and at some point they said that there is this fair. It's huge, it's important. It's basically considered in Sweden to, and I quote, to a celebration of freedom of speech. And we understand that there are almost 10 NGOs solely invested on the anti-Israeli propaganda. Again, I do the differentiation between pro-Palestinian and anti-Israeli. That's very important to know. You can be a pro-Palestinian, but all of it was against Israel. And they said, look, there are 10 of them and only one of us. They bring in their own speakers. They have almost 6-7 panels without debate, only their own ideas in the fair, in the global square area, when all the
Globala Torget, which is hosted by Olof Palme International Center for the last five years, so, I think.
So that's I knew after the fact. So basically, me as someone that got invited, I wasn't in any way try to be involved in all the technical questions. I just knew that I'm coming. I've been asked to present our own research about if Israel is apartheid or not. And in some point when they invited me, I said, look, all those NGOs are there. The organizers want to do a debate because they see that all the program about Israel-Palestine is all one side. There is no real debate. And I said, I will love to do debate. I will sit with any group that you will want me to sit with, even the worst anti-Israeli BDS group. I will sit in order to provide the audience an intellectual debate with arguments, with counter-arguments. And that's it. And then I was, okay, so come. The Sweden-Israel Association invited me. I knew it's going to be an interesting experience because usually we are not working on the ground. We are working in the research level, in the decision making levels. When I'm doing lectures, it's usually to decision makers, groups, activists. But we are not advocating for Israel and trying to explain the state of Israel. So for me, it was very interesting. I arrived there. It was overwhelming, the amount of groups and people for Ukraine and South Africa and Afghanistan and every major idea that going around the civil society today was present for, you know. And you can see also the, how do you say it? You can compare which groups are stronger or not. When you see one little booth on Iran and 9 others on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, you can also understand what are the priorities.
Yes.
And I was also understood that half of it, or maybe more than half, was funded by SIDA. SIDA, the Swedish government, was a major player. But in the beginning, I really didn't... I acted like as a, you know, an honorable guest that came to an event, and I think that what's changed that and what led me understanding that basically SIDA outsourced the management of this thing to a number of NGOs, including Olof Palme and others, was that I've been personally canceled, and that's the first time it's ever happened to me.
Welcome to the club.
And I'm 11 years in this business, and if someone goes to my
but you were canceled.
Yeah, I've been but the thing is that I call it that was a polite cancel. And I, even when I was active in the Muslim Jewish conference, which is very hard for someone with my views to be active in such a thing, it didn't happen. I sat with Iranians and Pakistanis and.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
BDS activists, yes, we are not agreeing on things. Yes, there is lack of trust, there is anger, but we are sitting.
Yes.
We're discussing. That's a thing. We are providing the things that others cannot do. We exchanging ideas. And deep in my heart, I knew that some of the NGOs like Amnesty and their guest from the Israeli NGO B'Tselem and other Swedish NGOs that was active there against Israel, I knew they will not want to sit with me on the same stage. But I did everything I can to make sure that from my side, I am the one that opened up to those ideas. And actually, that's the vibe I received from the organizers, that yes, we want to debate. A day before the conference, a day before the debate, those NGOs understood that I'm actually there. I don't think they realized or even bothered to check that there is someone from NGO Monitor that is going to debate them or overall in this arena. They got used to it, that every year they are the only ones that are speaking their own ideas. No one is challenging them. It's their own show, their own echo chamber. And I think when this sank down that I'm there and I'm part of the program, then the problems started. And almost maybe 2 hours, 3 hours after they understood that I'm part of the debate, suddenly one of the Swedish Israel Association people received a message that if you want a debate in your 20 minutes, we can do a debate. You can bring anyone but this guy from NGO Monitor.
So it was just specifically you. They could have brought any other Israeli.
No, any other person that now is there. They knew that there is no other Israeli. They knew that everyone are from the Sweden-Israel Association. And there is me as the expert that was invited. And the other side had an Israeli from B'Tselem, which is now the leader of the apartheid slur against Israel, which is okay.
Can you explain for my listeners just quickly about B'Tselem, what B'Tselem is?
Yeah, so B'Tselem is an Israeli NGO. Most of the 80%, more than 80% of the funding comes from European governments. They are they exist a very long time, and they consider to be the prominent human rights NGO that specifically deals with what's happening between the Israelis and Palestinians. I can tell you that until 10 years ago, yes, most of the Israelis didn't agree with their ideas, but B'Tselem wasn't so involved in the delegitimization campaign against Israel. In the last 10 years, things has shifted, not only with B'Tselem, but I think with all the camp of the human rights world, and they became more and more extreme. They themselves disconnected themselves from the Israeli public. They say that. They started to speak about the fact that Israel as a state from the river to the sea is an apartheid state and we need to find a new solution.
I'm sorry, just for a second, I have to explain. When you say from the river to the sea, I'm sure that's something you're used to hearing in Arabic, Hebrew, or English. Yes. But for my listeners, what does that mean?
So basically the debate around whether it should be a Palestinian state or not is major, the major focus or the major agreement on the or the international community is that there should be a Palestinian state on the what we call the 67 border, the green light, but it's actually the 49 ceasefire lines, which is by Judah and Samaria, West Bank, whatever people wants to call it. That's the two-state solution. Yes. And side to that, you will have a Jewish and democratic Israeli state next to the Palestinian state. That's something that was agreed upon everyone in the human rights community back then and the international community. Recently, NGOs like B'Tselem, Amnesty and Human Rights Watch, and I can also name another few, they had a process of disconnecting themselves from the fact that there should be a Jewish democratic Israel in any border, and started to speak from Jordan River in the east and the Mediterranean, the sea, and the west. All the spectrum where Israelis and Palestinians live, for them, it's an apartheid state. They're using very hard words like Jewish supremacy, like everything that the Jews are doing are for expansion. Very words that reminds us other things and not an Israeli NGO. And they basically disconnected themselves from the inside Israeli discourse, and they became more and more extreme. And still, I wanted to sit with them on the same stage, because we are considered to be one of their greatest, biggest criticizers, and let the audience decide.
Yes.
Let the audience decide. If you're so sure on your arguments, you shouldn't have any problem to challenge it in a debate.
So did you meet the guy from B'Tselem?
I did meet him when he came to the Sweden-Israeli Friendship Association stand. We spoke. I don't have a problem with anyone, but I think he doesn't like me so much. And I said a number of times that I will be happy to sit with you on a debate. That's not what he That's not what he wanted. But the interesting thing is that the explanation that I was given was very, very technical. And that was so strange, because many things didn't add up. Like, if you didn't know that I am the guest, how come my name is on your website?
Okay, so he had written that he was going to have a debate with you.
Yeah, my name was written on the website. That's the thing. Now, more than that, we planned and said, look, if no one will agree to a debate, we will have 20 minutes that I can do a one-man show and like to lecture why Israel is not apartheid. Why? Because they have their own 20 minutes of why Israel is apartheid. And they have a lot of other things like why Israel is to blame it all, the climate things. It's the same thing was all over and over again. So the comfort was, okay, so if not a debate, at least I can present the research by myself. But they made sure, they said, you don't go to the stage. You're not coming to the stage.
But who said that to you? Who said that?
So first, it started with one of the technical organizers, one of the event organizers. And then I said, okay, so I demand to know who decided, and I want to see it written.
Fair enough.
Because if you're saying that it was a technical problem for 3 days, I believe that any technical problem can be solved.
Yes.
Eventually, I spoke with a representative of the Olof Palme Center.
Mm-hmm.
Again, everything was conducted in a very polite, very nice. People wasn't offending, but I don't think they understood enough my... I usually don't take things personally in this business. But it was very clear that I was insulted personally. Like, you basically saying that the one that want to debate, the one that following any criteria that this place is giving, freedom of speech, debate, long live the words, all the big things, is the one to be boycotted. Regardless of any technical difficulties, which I think was just an excuse. After the fact, we understood that the other NGOs were very much angry that I'm there, and they're the one that pushed the organizers to just back down with, you know, technical excuses. Oh, we didn't know, or we didn't have time to evaluate you. First of all, you had 3 days. Second of all, Google. I wrote in endless newspapers, you have videos of me giving lectures, there you have my bio spray in the first result in Google. You have a problem, and you know I'm here, right? Talk to me. Present me the problem. Let's solve it. I am the one that wants to giving you what you asked. And I think the most outrageous things was, and that's not about me, that a few hours after that, they, not only that they didn't allow me to go, they canceled all the 20 minutes that the Sweden-Israel Association had in the main stage.
Yeah.
Like, so you had only 20 minutes, Amnesty and B'Tselem discussing about Israel and apartheid.
Yeah.
And then the other 20 minutes just went black. They canceled the program. So it's not about me anymore. It's about any voice that is not what the other side is giving.
And so anyone who is against people who are against Israel or even pro-Israel aren't allowed to speak, which in effect in this instance was you and you're, I suspect, Jewish?
Yeah.
Yes. And there was some people from the Sweden-Israel Association, which I suspect quite a few are Jewish.
Yes, that's true. But you know, they're always... It's interesting that you lay it out, because also the guy from B'Tselem was Jewish, but someone told me in after it happened that there is always and I'm doing it with quotes, you know, the good Jew and the bad Jew.
Exactly.
Okay? You're a very good Jew if you're doing exactly what we want you to do. And again, I'm saying that so people will understand.
The B'Tselem guy is a good Jew. He's a socialist Jew. He doesn't want Israel to exist as a state. That constitutes a good Jew.
That for them, he doesn't want, or he wants to spill his propaganda, which fits, by the way, it's funny because B'Tselem is being funded by SIDA.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not for nothing all those NGOs are there. They are. It's everything is connected.
SIDA gives out a lot of money. I think they have an annual budget of 40 billion Swedish crowns. That's $4 billion.
Yes, that's true. But I think, and it's very important for me to say that, let's say that I believe that there was a technical problem and you didn't know, but now you know, and I'm there, and you have time to set it up. And then other NGOs comes and basically acting against freedom of speech. So you boycotting the one that was open to everyone, and you're giving the stage to the ones who boycotting all others.
Yes.
That's the paradox. And it doesn't matter technical or not technical, just doesn't matter. I'm there. I suspect, and I say that to the representatives that came to talk to me, that if I wasn't who I am, I was a Palestinian or Iranian or someone that fits to their agenda, the technical problem was being solved in 2 minutes.
Of course. No, I actually do believe you, but I have quite a lot of experience by now working here in Sweden. So first of all, the first person who didn't want to debate you was the B'Tselem guy, I suppose.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. And then he was he invited by someone or yes. Was it in...
He was the guest of Amnesty, which also we are considered to be highly critical towards Amnesty, and they know that. We tearing apart every report that they doing, like in research wise, we're just tearing it apart and republishing it. And yeah, so he was their guest, and it's perfectly fine. It's their right, but also like if you go to the level of ideology, you're here to provide an intellectual experience to your visitors. It's written all over.
Yeah.
You had a great opportunity to do it, and you blow it. That's the problem.
Yeah, I read your article about it in Times of Israel, you translated the motto of the Gothenburg Book Fair of 2022 correctly. Long live the word, but they're not saying words, and they're not saying free words. They're just saying word, one word, and they don't specify what word that is, but apparently not your word.
So, yeah, it's a.
You're right, and as soon as I heard what happened, I called the Swedish Israel Association, and I asked them. But you paid to participate, right? You paid to have a stand, and they were like, "Yeah, we paid 22,000 crowns to get a booth at the fair, and into that you also are guaranteed 20-minute speaker time on yes. stage."
True.
So they paid for something that they didn't get, basically.
That's true. Because I was a guest, and I really wanted to take myself out from the debate between the Sweden-Israel Association and the organizers, as you know, as a customers. But I can tell you that in the day after it was published, because we just wrote about it on the social media and people started to speak about it, the amount of people that came talking to me when I stood in this booth was it was unbelievable. Everyone from everything, even people that are not quite sure where they are standing, it was funny. Even the one of the two. Activists from, I think it was from one of the Sweden BDS organizations, I don't remember, they came to see who is this guy from NGO Monitor. Like eventually it was a total miss from the organizers, because people do want to see those things. People do want to see the people debate and exchange ideas. That's the beauty of those things. And also it's what people like to see.
Yes.
People arguing with each other. And I think in some place, although I was furious, deep inside, it didn't surprise me so much. Because I don't know if you're familiar with our research specifically on Sweden.
I am.
But for your listeners, I will tell that we documented for years just millions of Swedish coroners going through the most notorious NGOs that promotes anti-Semitism, anti-Zionism, BDS. Nothing had to do with making the Palestinian lives better.
Yeah, I know. And that's Swedish money.
And that's Swedish money. Now, and it's not connected to the relations between the two states. It's money that comes from a very complicated bureaucratic machine called SIDA.
Yes.
and it's money that being funneled through other bodies, other NGOs, Diakonia, the Church of Sweden, the NGO Development Center, they're all hubs of SIDA to give money to a very specific groups of NGOs. It's not like they're giving to 200. It's always the same 8, 9, 10 NGOs that involved in bringing Israel to the International Criminal Court.
Yes.
Or anti-normalization,
yeah.
Anti-peace.
Yeah.
And it's all connected in my head when I saw those signs of SIDA,
yeah.
And this cancel culture and, you know, the research in the back of my head, of our heads, and it all came to reality in one second.
You know, this is a special country, but is there anything else you want to say about your experience here that I might have missed?
It's very important to stress that I'm a professional and I'm representing an organization, and this organization is very much critical towards the policies of Sweden, but it's not critical towards the fact that Sweden is an ally of Israel. It's not critical towards the Swedish people, whoever they will be. And it's really different if we take the other side, which is not talking about the Israeli policies. They're talking about the legitimacy of the state of Israel, of the right of self-defense, of the right of existence. And I said that in one of my lectures in Gutenberg, that I think the biggest fear is not that those activities of the NGOs bringing widening the gap between Israelis and Palestinians, they also hurting and damaging the relations between Israelis and Europeans, and in that case, the Swedish people. When Israelis see that Sweden funds those things against them, that blaming them to be war criminals and animals and child killers, and want to prosecute them in the international courts and boycott them, they don't look on it like you and me. For them, it's Sweden, as a country, as people, and that's the biggest danger with this NGO industry that being funded by European countries. And I do hope that the experience I had is a one-time incident, and it's a thing that I can use in order to show people that we are the ones with the facts, we are the ones that are willing to debate, that are not boycotting anyone, and the other side is exactly the opposite.
I understand. Thank you, Itai, for taking the time to speak to me. And Shana Tova.
Shana Tova, thank you very much for having me in your show.
Tack för att du har lyssnat på Dekonstruktiv kritik. Gästade gjorde Itai Rovini från NGO Monitor, och gästspelade gjorde Patrik Deston från Olof Palme Internationella Center, OPIC, om man vill börja använda den förkortningen. För att höra hela konversationen med Patrik finns den att tillgå i det här avsnittet på min Patreon, patreon.com/aronflam. Ett stort tack till dig som stöder Dekonstruktiv kritik. Det finansieras av dig som lyssnar och gillar det du hör. Du kan stötta DK på patreon.com/aronflam, där du också får avsnitten några dagar före gemene man och tillgång till extra långa reaktionsavsnitt med mig och David Eberhardt. Glöm för övrigt inte att titta på mina och David Eberhardts reaktionsvideos. Båda delarna av när jag och David reagerar på Matt Walsh's dokumentär What is a Woman? Korta versionerna ligger ute på min YouTube-kanal och i full längd på patreon.com/aronflam. Härnäst släpper vi det absolut tråkigaste Boomers reagerar som spelats in, och det är när vi reagerar på SVT's Babel. Herregud, vilket sömnpiller det var. Det går såklart också bra att stötta mitt arbete på PayPal, med Bitcoin eller med Swish 0768 943737. 0768 943737. 137. Ett ännu större tack till dig som kommit på någon av kvällarna under min och Jens Ganmans gemensamma turné Scener från ett tvångsäktenskap. Det har gått så pass bra att vi funderar på att förlänga turnén med några städer till. Vilka det blir återkommer jag till framöver. Tills vidare hittar du min och Jens Ganmans bok Älskade Public Service, själva underlaget för turnén, på min hemsida aronflam.com/merchandise. Jag är Aron Flam. Till nästa gång, ha en god tidsenhet.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.